the Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
Okay, welcome back to the latest episode of the Sports Coaching Podcast with me, Sam Holmshaw. As always, hope everyone's well. It's a monthly podcast now, formerly a weekly podcast, so we don't come on air as much. Really, really excited for this podcast today. I've got to say to my guest, Ed, I've made the usual mistake of not clarifying how I pronounce your surname, so I'm not going to attempt that. As we're now live, I'll let you introduce yourself in a second, but in usual cases, it seems to be with a lot of my guests recently, we've sort of been trying to arrange a time. I made a very fatal error. We'd arranged the meeting last Friday, and I found I was actually in work and got an email from Ed about 3 minutes after our meeting. So apologies to Ed in advance. Really happy to finally have you on the podcast today, Ed. So like I said, I'll let you introduce yourself and pronounce your surname correctly so I don't make a mess of that. But Ed, great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. I'm Ed Gibbons, co-founder and product lead here at Rewire Fitness. And yeah, it's great to be here talking to you today.
Fantastic. Well, we just mentioned off air, I think you said you are in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm in Indianapolis. We're here on a Techstars Sports Accelerator. Yeah, so normally in London, but here out in Indianapolis. Got the Indy 500 this weekend, which looking forward to. So yeah, great time to be in Indy.
Yeah, not a bad place in the world to be, eh? I must admit, I'm a bit envious of you. Brilliant, Ed. So, I mean, we always start the podcast with an introduction to the guest. So I guess if you wouldn't mind just telling the listeners a bit about yourself, your sort of background in sport, playing career, coaching career, that'd be brilliant, just so we can all get a bit more of a background about you, Ed.
Sure, yeah, happy to do that. So yeah, I'm grew up as a rugby player in the UK, really a lifelong athlete, huge love and passion for sports. I'm now doing a lot of hybrid training, which is sort of balancing strength and endurance training. So a lot of runs each week, a lot of time in the weight room as well. Pretty fun to do both. So I'm really enjoying that right now. Got a passion and love for sport and exercise science. My love for that really started when I was about 13 and diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And, you know, as a rugby player trying to perform and having to manage diabetes and manage that bodily process, you get really attuned to your sort of physiology. And so started this journey of performance optimization. You know, how can I get my blood sugars in the right state for performance, for training, whatever. And started with blood sugars, then went to sort of how can I optimize my training across all the boards, how can I optimize my recovery, nutrition, and then on to mindset, which really brought us here. And you know, got a chance to study sport and exercise science at Loughborough University, and that's as I was beginning that degree, I met Sun, one of my fellow co-founders, and Cody, and we started this initial prototype for a mental resilience training system, featuring a pretty unique protocol called brain endurance training, which has been validated to improve your tolerance to mental fatigue, which is a sort of a significant limiter to performance. So over the past couple years, we've really rounded this into a very holistic system, you know, featuring training, recovery, and monitoring protocols.
Yeah, fascinating. So I find that really interesting how you said there. Was it, sorry, type 2 diabetes?
Type 1 diabetes.
And that's inspired you to go down the initially sports and exercise science route. Really admire that. I love hearing people's personal journeys around that. Got to say, me coming from a sort of sports coaching background, don't really know too much about the sort of sports and exercise science. Familiar a lot more with mindset. Probably for the listeners that are probably in the same boat as me, how much does that relate? I'm guessing obviously quite a bit, but I think the sort of average Joe, if you like, probably might not be too aware of how sports and exercise science and the sort of mental side of, you know, the athlete performance. How does that relate?
Yeah, it's almost like a subcategory of sport and exercise science, really spanning across neuroscience and psychology in particular. We're looking at a few different sort of processes. One area in particular, the anterior cingulate cortex, is a crucial part of the brain. It's responsible for mental fatigue, perception of effort and sort of how we manage that. So it's a key part in sort of mental resilience and sort of how we prepare our mind for performance. So it's kind of like this, there's a nice overlap between the two, I guess, is one way to put it.
Awesome. Well, really interesting. I'm really looking forward to getting on to learn a bit more about Rewire Fitness. So you talk about mental fatigue, you talk about mental resilience training. For me, I always find these subjects really fascinating. I remember on the initial email, he mentioned the comment about athletes believe that it's 59% to 99% mental is important in their actual athletic performance, but not too many are actually sure if they train that enough or how to train that enough. And I have to say, sort of working from athletes myself, that is something that you generally kind of find. I think a lot of athletes, particularly nowadays, maybe in the last 10 years, last 5 years or so, are really aware of the importance of mental states, but maybe aren't actually too sure about how they go about training that and getting in a good mental state. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about the business, obviously, at Rewire Fitness. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the work you're doing about mental resilience training, mental fatigue, and all that sort of side, if that's all right, Ed.
Yeah, you said it really well. I mean, you know, we speak to a lot of athletes and coaches, and one of the questions we ask a lot of those is what percent of performance would you attribute to the mind or mindset? And inevitably, it's somewhere between 50 and 90%. Somewhat depends on the sport, the athlete, the sort of age group they're in, their ability level. But I haven't really heard anyone say less than 50%. And I've heard, normally within that 50 to 90 plus percent range. And then we always do this sort of wise guy follow-up question of, okay, so important, what are you doing to train it? And it's met with this really awkward silence, and the best answer we get is sort of not enough. So that's really where we come in. We're trying to build a solution around training the mind, recovering the mind, monitoring the mind, and sort of how that affects performance is really significant. Our system is kind of at its core is a readiness assessment that understands your daily state to perform. So that takes into account physical, cognitive, and emotional metrics. So on the physical side, we're tracking HRV, which is heart rate variability, resting heart rate, sleep, training load, muscle soreness. On the cognitive side, we're running them for a short cognitive reaction time task, which assesses their level of cognitive fatigue, takes into account reaction time, lapses in concentration and misses, alongside mental load. We're also tracking a range of emotional metrics, so how stressed the athlete is, how frustrated they are, how ready to perform they feel, how rested they feel. And doing this gives us a really nice picture of the athlete's state, and essentially they're, you know, across three really key domains of physical, emotional, and cognitive readiness. And we build a load of solutions around that, which we can definitely dive into. But the sort of core of the engine is this 90-second morning assessment, which gives us an awesome picture of where the athlete is. And from a coach's standpoint, we built a dashboard around this that lets you visualize all your athletes' data, understand where they're at, and make interventions to allow them to sort of perform at their best throughout the whole 24 hours of their day.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. Certainly really interesting. I'm really looking forward to diving into that a little bit more in the main part of the conversation today. Just to sort of finish on the introduction to yourself and Rewire Fitness. Tell me a little bit about how the business starts. I think you mentioned there was a couple of guys all from the same university. What was sort of everyone's common idea in, you know, coming up with Rewire Fitness?
Yeah, we're actually from pretty different backgrounds. I'm in the UK, Sam and Cody are in New York, and Rosala, she's in Germany. So, you know, pretty range of different areas we come from. Being in this new sort of remote world has allowed us to sort of really work together over the past 3 years and sort of create something pretty awesome over that time. We've actually just all met up in the last couple of weeks after 3 years of working together. It's been awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks so much for the introduction, Ed. Really nice to hear a little bit more about yourself and the business. And I've got to say, really looking forward to this conversation today. Anything regarding the mental state for me as a football coach or soccer coach for our American listeners is always something that I just find fascinating, particularly how it influences athletic performance. And you know, performance is always that key word, isn't it? So yeah, really looking forward to today.
The Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
So support for the Sports Coaching Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SCPOD. That's the code SCPOD at manscaped.com. So the topic that I sort of threw together was, do athletes spend enough time training their minds? Now, I sort of mentioned a little bit earlier that for me, sort of my experience in coaching and probably having 10 years experience now, I think when I was a player, I don't really think there was anything to do with mindset, albeit I was sort of like a grassroots low-level footballer. I had a decent career as a swimmer coming through. Sorry, I used to swim 6 or 7 times a week, but when I think about my time there, it was all about sort of physical performance and physical readiness and technical and tactical, all about your decision making. There wasn't really anything ever tapping into my mental state. So what I really, I guess, to sort of start the question, Ed, and sorry, start the conversation into this next segment, the question to pose you is, do athletes spend enough time training their minds? I mean, it's such a fascinating question. I'd love to sort of hear your take on it as an expert in the field.
No, yeah, people don't. Like I said at the start, it's such an important component. You know, people attribute 50 to 90% of their performance to that. But yeah, very little is done to train it. And the areas that sort of what is done to train it is this blunt instrument for the most part. So we think of the sort of traditional way of training mental resilience and or mental toughness. And what it's about is beating your body up to train the mind. Like, how can we push our body to the limits to have some kind of effect on our mental resilience? When we think about that, it's a really blunt instrument. It's a sledgehammer approach. We're not having this targeted approach at how we train the mind. So what we do is we transfer that into a really scalpel-like approach. How can we focus on the part of the brain responsible for mental resilience and have a really scalpel-like targeted approach to improve performance? As we think about sports, youth sports, particularly like the burnout rate, that's such a key aspect because, you know, when we're looking at this traditional way of training mental resilience, it has a huge knock-on effect on, you know, right, and overall performance. And we think by sort of, and the science shows that by training the mind in a really targeted approach, we can have really significant performance benefits by taking this holistic approach to training, recovery, and monitoring. So yeah, super excited about it. We think, and we know from the science, that it has huge implications on performance. Makes sense because we're in a world of marginal gains and yet the mind is an untapped component. And yeah, it's, you know, in the lab, They use a time to exhaustion test using brain endurance training, which is the type of training we used over a 12-week period. And time to exhaustion test is essentially a brutal, brutal test where you just see how long you can go until you fail or you can't hit the sort of output. And it's very reflective of a lot of challenges outside of it. But what they found was the group that used the brain endurance training over that 12-week period improved by 3 times the amount that the control group did. So they improved by 126% compared to 42%. So really significant performance benefits from training the mind. And yeah, just goes to show how much potential it really has to have an effect on our performance. Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, really, really interesting. I mean, I come from coaching the sport football, and I've been involved right from grassroots to now. So at youth academy level, I've worked with you know, youngsters right down to 5-year-olds, 16-year-olds. I've worked with 40-year-old players, and there seems to be the culture in football. And I don't know too much about other sports yet, but mental resilience, mental toughness is sort of branded around those terms, and it's always, oh, you know, you've got to have that toughness if you're going to go and make it, particularly when you're sort of talking around academy players. And what you often see with some coaches is they will sort of, I guess is what you're sort of leading on there, is just sort of throw everything at them straight away and just be really harsh and sort of put them through such toughness immediately. And it's sort of, well, if they can sort of deal with the kitchen sink, then they're going to make it. Now, that's sort of great. And, you know, I suppose the sort of players that have come through that, I suppose they all, you know, have a good level of mental toughness and mental resilience. But I've always tended to sort of disagree with that. I've never really myself found it actually works for players too much. I think what you often find is you sort of chuck the kitchen sink, particularly at sort of youngsters. And, you know, they maybe not be able to deal with that there and then. They might be able to deal with it in 2 or 3 or 4 years' time. But when we're talking about sort of 10, 11, 13-year-olds in an academy environment, for example,
right?
You know, it's not really, for me, it's not the right approach. So I find the sort of targeted approach sort of over sort of a longer period of time, I guess is what you're leading to, absolutely fascinating. Almost sort of testing over different points and sort of building them up. Would that be sort of right to say, Ed?
Yeah. So we track a range of different metrics. On the sort of neurotraining side of things, we track everything from answer rate, which is sort of correct answers, or how long it takes you to answer correctly. It's a great indicator of sort of a balance between reaction time and accuracy. We also came up with a proprietary metric, which is perception gap. And that's the difference between your perceived rating of perceived exertion and your expected rating of perceived exertion, or RPE, as defined by power output or heart rate output. So we can get a really nice picture from that of where you are mentally. And the reason behind that is because RPE is such a key component in mental fatigue. What they found in the original 2009 landmark study by Mark Cora is that performance when under mental fatigue is limited not by physiological mechanisms, but by ratio of perceived exertion. And the easiest way to sort of, for me at least, to sort of explain this is, if you've ever been coaching an athlete through maybe a hard fitness test, be it a bleep test or a, you know, a treadmill test, a test on a treadmill, which we did a lot in the lab, you might ask them their RPE and they'll say 10 or they'll say 9. And if they say 10, that's their limit. That's how far they're going. You know, that's how hard they can go. They can't go any harder. But the second you get people on the sideline or on the side of a treadmill cheering them on, or you remind them of self-talk, you get them to sort of work through some self-talk or motivate them in another way, they're able to go a lot harder. But they were at a 10. They couldn't go any harder. And the mechanism behind that is you're able to reduce the perception of effort and thus perform at a high level. So it just really highlights the sort of how much perception of effort can be a limiter, and how big sort of the effect of mental fatigue is on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely fascinating. I did a lot of work around perception and the mind for my undergraduate dissertation. And sort of perceived exertion is something that I'll be honest with you, I've never actually come across that before. But, you know, when I sort of think about myself as an athlete in my younger days, there were times where I felt, no, I've had enough. This is it. I can't give any more. I can't do any more. And then there's other times where I'd sort of reflect on that and think, well, that's been a bit of a melt there, really. I probably could have given a lot more and done a lot more. And it's really fascinating because I think about particularly my time as a swimmer, I would always find, like, when you were training, you didn't really ever have anyone watching you or, you know, encouraging you from the sort of stands, if you like. And if you were sort of asked to do a sprint or give your personal best, I always used to really struggle with that because I didn't really have any factors that were, like, motivating me other than, well, go on, then let's see if we can beat it. But when I think back to, you know, when you sort of competed in events and galas, as they're sort of called in swimming, and it's big crowds and there's people chanting your name, and you can hear that and you really feel that. And in the moments when you are tired, as you sort of say, it does boost you on. So that's absolutely brilliant. I guess it's sort of a form of representative practice we would probably sort of call it in coaching, in terms of you're trying to replicate those sort of constraints in terms of getting athletes to go through that. So if they're on the treadmill and they've got people encouraging them, it's sort of almost a bit more realistic. So, I mean, that's absolutely fascinating. But I also want to ask you about sort of point you mentioned earlier. So you mentioned the holistic approach. And the reason I always like to sort of refer back to this, because I think holistic is one of those words, particularly for sort of like your grassroots coaches, that it's not always massively obvious what holistic is. Personally, I would always describe myself as a holistic coach. I think it's such an important, you know, viewpoint in modern day coaching, no matter what level you are. So what is this holistic approach that you talk about? And I guess why is that sort of important in terms of what you're trying to do here?
Yeah, so we take it from a couple of different angles. Holistic means sort of just taking in the whole picture. But I think, you know, I like this sort of description quite a lot, and I use this phrase a lot. But you know, the modern day athlete, their entire 24 hours matters, not just their workout or performance, their whole 24 hours matters. So from the moment they wake up to the moment they wake up the next day, every bit of that matters in terms of unlocking a bit of extra performance. And that doesn't mean that you're working at 100% the whole time. That means you're taking a balanced approach across the whole 24 hours to perform at your best. How we sort of build solutions in around that is, we have, you know, you can kind of break your day down into a few different aspects. You might want to be focused on recovery and rest at a part of your day. You might want to be focused on productivity. You might want to be focused on physical performance. And what our system does is allow you to get in a state to perform with each of those sections. You know, we think about our workouts and they generate a lot of physical fatigue. They also generate a lot of mental fatigue. But what's the impact of that on the other things we're doing in our day? You know, the vast majority of you know, virtually all, if not all, athletes have other things in their day beyond their workout that they need to perform in. And that might be in family life. That might be in work life if they're managing a job as well. That might be in their school if they're a youth athlete. And it's about balancing the approach between the two to really allow you to perform at your best. Because naturally, if you're not performing in one, you're going to find it really hard to perform in the other as well. You know, one example I like for this is, imagine a pre-workout. You've got 300 milligrams of caffeine in there and you take that before your training session. Fantastic. You might be in a really energized state to perform in that session. But how are you going to feel 3 hours later when you're trying to get some work done, trying to unwind, or try and do another aspect of your day? And that's sort of what taking a holistic approach to me is taking a balanced approach that really allows you to perform or just achieve the state you want to achieve throughout your entire 24 hours and thus in your overall performances. So we kind of take holistic across two different angles as well. So cognitive, emotional, and physical, the entire body and mind, and taking into account those sort of factors that really allow us to perform. And then we also take into account training, recovery, and monitoring. So kind of training and recovery, the two sort of different spearheads, I guess, and monitoring at the center that really allows us to understand the right approach in the moment.
Yeah, just fascinating again. I mean, entire 24 hours matters is something I've written there in capital letters, because I just find that absolutely fascinating. And the more and more that you think about it, it's just so true. I mean, you've only got to look at Cristiano Ronaldo, the way he sort of lives his day-to-day life. I remember listening to Phil Neville, ex-Man United, Everton, sort of, you know, explaining it and presenting it on the podcast. And it just absolutely fascinates me. And obviously such a level of dedication. But I remember about probably 18 months ago, I had a discussion with a coach who was sort of finding it quite challenging that he was getting a lot of players coming, finding that they weren't in a sort of good physical state for training, or they weren't in a good mental state, or they were, you know, overtired or whatever. And it used to really impact on the training session. I always used to say, well, the problem is sort of in that sort of environment is you don't know what's happened earlier in that day. You don't know what's happened at work. You don't know what energy level they've sort of expelled, you know, at work. If they had something at home that's caused a certain amount of exertion. And these are all factors that can, you know, reflect on the athletic performance. So absolutely fascinating, Ed.
Awesome. Yeah, we see that a lot. Like, especially in a team sport environment, it's really hard to, take a session off. Sometimes it's great, but when you've got the sort of whole team there, it can be really difficult for, you know, players to be missing or you know, not present either. Physically not present, or you know, just mentally not there either. So we built a system around getting people in a state to be able to perform, and really providing them with a solution that empowers them to perform at their best. So just to run you through sort of how that would look. Say for example, you wake up today and our readiness assessment isolates that you're feeling stressed and under some level of cognitive fatigue. You might have a training session that morning, say at 11 a.m. and you've got your whole team there, and you know it's an important session, you're prepping for a big game, so you want to be there mentally and physically and emotionally as well. We're going to take your state data, your readiness data, and your goal for that day, which in this case is going to be physical performance, and we're going to provide you a short 2 to 5 minute recovery session that allows you to get into the right mindset to perform. So that might involve some guided breathing. It might involve some visualization or self-talk. It might involve binaural beats, which are quite a novel protocol for getting your brain in the right state to for whatever it wants to achieve, be that recovery rest, be that physical performance, be it relaxation or focus. And it might involve some subliminal priming, which is just sort of using positive imagery to boost an individual state. And, you know, the combination of these result in a recipe like 2 to 5 minute session that have a really significant impact on an athlete's state. So they become, you know, on average, sort of 70% less stressed. They become 30% more ready to perform, feel 30% more relaxed. These are sort of numbers we're seeing across our user base. And these are in a really short period of time, we can have a really significant effect on motivation, perception of effort, ability to perform, readiness. And it's pretty incredible the sort of what you can achieve with some on the spot interventions. So that's the kind of tool that supports you throughout your day and allows you to get either yourself or all your athletes into as good a state as possible to perform really and be present.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've in the last year, I've spoken to a few guests that have sort of spoke about, you know, the short 2 to 5 sort of pre-workout, post-workout recovery sessions. They've spoke a lot about self-talk, visualization. You know, those are terms I'm sort of familiar with uni and sort of familiar with how that supports athletes. For the sort of coach that's sort of listening to this and they're not too sure what self-talk visualization is, would you just be able to just give us a sort of, I guess, a brief example, Ed, of what those words mean and what that sort of looks like?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Self-talk, the sort of mantras you say to yourself to have an effect on your performance or what you're trying to achieve. So they can have a positive effect on recovery. They can have a positive effect on stress. They can have a positive effect on performance. They can also have a negative effect on all of these. So it's really key to have a positive self-talk attitude. And, you know, as we're looking at this, let's just take performance for the sake of it. And let's chat through like a 1600 meter event just to make things easier.
as you break that down, you're going to want to use different messages across those sort of those 1600 meters ish. So, you know, in the first 400 meters, you're going to want to be getting into a calm, focused state to sort of perform across the whole period. You want to keep yourself calm, but focused at the same time. So what I do is I repeat in my head, calm and focused, yeah. And the next sort of 800 meters, taking out the middle portion, it's, you know, about keeping going. So something like keep going, be strong. You're going to want to keep that intensity up. And what this does is it has a really positive effect on reducing your perception of effort and allowing you to maintain a high intensity of performance. And in that final 400 meters-ish, you're going to want to finish it off, give yourself that final bit of motivation. So the one I like, there's a couple. The one I like is bring it home. So I'll just be bring it home. And this throughout the run has a really positive effect on how you actually perform. And this is what the research shows. This is what we anecdotally know as well. And if you haven't tried it, I'd really urge you to try it. If you're finding, you know, a session difficult, or a just center yourself and try sort of work through some positive self-talk. Calm and focus is one I really like. Keep going, be strong is one I really like. Bring it home is one that I really like. Trust your instincts. Be like water for sort of achieving that calm state. There's a nice Bruce Lee reference for anyone there. And yeah, there's some really great messages. We also built a custom self-talk feature so you could input any mantras that work particularly well for you. But really a range of different ones, and they have a different effect on both performance, recovery, focus. So yeah. And on the visualization thing, example of that is sort of walking yourself through the process of preparation and just getting yourself in the right mindset to perform. So one that Michael Phelps is pretty famous for is starting watching an entire almost like mental videotape of his performance start to finish. So, you know, from the moment he walks out from the changing room to the moment that, you know, he's finishing and celebrating, every single moment, just closing your eyes and sort of walking through everything that could possibly go wrong, how you're going to overcome that, any challenges, how you overcome those, the success when you do, like just walking yourself through that process, you feel prepared both mentally and physically to perform.
The Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
Okay, so it's just time for a quick word from our partners. Manscaped have, delighted to say, have decided to sponsor the podcast. And in exchange for some promotion, Manscaped have provided me, the host, with some free gifts and some free goodies. And so right in front of me here, I firstly got to tell you about the Lawnmower 4.0. So it's this lovely little trimmer here that you'll be able to see on your screen. Very, very aesthetically pleasing, as you can tell. We have to be careful because this is a PG podcast. You can probably imagine what this is used for. Gentlemen's grooming, particularly down the gentleman's region, should I add, is a tricky process. Having used this myself, tested this product out, I have to say, aside from it looks absolutely fantastic on your bathroom shelf, in terms of its actual purpose, it's absolutely brilliant. Very safe. Wasn't messy. If I just turn it on here for you, you can see that there's a flashlight as well. Obviously, that comes in very handy. I've never had such a time-effective process of grooming. Really nice, neat, good product, very useful, and I was very impressed with the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. So you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCPOD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use code SCPOD. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools with manscaped.com. Such great examples, Ed. Really, really, really good example there, particularly for the 1600. you know, I mean, it for me, it really demonstrates how important that is, because, you know, I'm sure if you've been there yourself, like me and you have, those positive or negative thoughts, self-talk, visualization in whatever form it is, it can really impact, you know, your performance, what motivation you've got in that last 200 meters to last 100 meters to really go for it. What performance, you know, from a football in the 90th minute when it's 1-1 and you're trying to win the game before extra time. So you ain't got to do another thing.
Right.
That's the sort of self-talk. So absolutely brilliant examples that, I mean, you know, certainly makes a lot of sense for the coaches that haven't come through these terms before. So thanks so much for sharing that. So what I'd really like to sort of move on now, I guess moving into the next segment, and initially I put, do coaches recognise the importance of the mental side in athletic performance? What I would sort of prefer to ask, and I think we've got to be careful, we're not sort of just groping, you know, all coaches, because different coaches have different sort of philosophies, different levels, obviously. But I mean, I've always tend to found from my experience, it's important that I say my experience, that coaches can be a little bit too focused on the technical, tactical elements of the sport. Now, obviously, when you're sort of at the elite level and you've got a lot more time, it's probably easier, I would guess, to probably focus more on the mental side. I guess if you're sort of right at the bottom of a sort of grassroots and you're training and working with players once time a week, it might be a little bit easier to, I guess, be sort of enthralled by the sort of technical and tactical. But I'd love to sort of get your, you know, take on that, Ed. You know, it's definitely something I've always felt, particularly sort of in, again, just in a football environment from my own experience, and it's important to say my own experience, but are coaches a little bit too focused at times, or guilty of being focused just on the technical and tactical?
Yeah, I think you said it quite nicely. Like, people have different time, hands-on time with their players, and I think the part of that is like, where can the coach add the most value with the time they have? And part of that is like the player taking some own ownership themselves into their training and, you know, managing, say, the fitness aspect themselves, and the coach sort of focusing on the tactical aspect or the skills aspect that's really sport specific. So, yeah, I think very dependent on the time the sort of coach has in terms of with their players. But yeah, it's a very interesting one. We built a solution that can be used by the player in their own sort of environment, and that's sort of how it's designed to be used. So it's not eating up into that hands-on time with the coach, and it really allows, we think, for the coaches to almost delegate that. I think it's important they have some sort of hands-on time focusing on the mental side of things too, but at least some of the work is really taken onto the player's ownership, and they can focus on that themselves.
That's a really cool thing to you know, so add into the app, because you know, you're right, particularly at the sort of bottom amateur levels, you know, time is limited. That's something that, you know, an app can provide for, you know, players to sort of go through that. That's awesome, because you know, I really like what you say there about taking ownership. Ownership is certainly so important in sort of athletic progression as well, both on the pitch and off the pitch. And, you know, I work with a lot of the, you know, young players now, potentially that might go on to sort of get into professional academies or move on to sort of semi-professional football teams. And ownership is one thing that we always mention, because it is such an important thing. So yeah, I mean, really interesting. So I guess the sort of question to move on from that then, and I know it's perhaps probably a question that's kind of already been answered, but I'll ask it again anyway, just to sort of be summarised. I mean, as a sort of broad statement, why do coaches need to really begin to recognise the importance of the mental state and how that directly impacts athletic performance?
Yeah. You know, let's do a quick thought experiment. Imagine you as a coach, who I'm sure train as well in some capacity, whether that be just doing workouts by yourself or at a semi-professional level or professional level even. I'm sure you're doing some level of training on your own back for your own fitness or for your own sport. And for those that are balancing work as well, imagine the sort of day, the period of time in your day when you do that workout. So if you've done it after a long, stressful day with a lot of things going wrong, you know, that's going to build up a layer of mental fatigue, a lot of mental fatigue that you're then training under. And what it's going to do is it's going to massively increase your perception of effort, make it feel a lot more difficult, but also you're not going to be able to perform at the same intensity that you would have without that mental fatigue. So that's sort of a thought experiment. It has a huge impact on our performance. Understanding that and providing interventions around that allow us to mitigate that. The other aspect is, you know, looking at the research, great study by Marcora, as I've mentioned, really showing or quantifying the impact of mental fatigue on our performance. And it highlights that it's not through those physiological mechanisms, but it's through perceptual effort that's really causing that challenge.
Awesome, awesome. I mean, it does bring me back to, you know, about a year ago, Ed, I was first team manager of this amateur women's team up near the Leeds area. And this was something that we tried to really buy into. We recognised that we were working with players that some of them were sort of still in school, going through GCSE, some of them were in sixth form, going through A-levels. Some of them were working sort of full time and probably having stressful days. So right. I think one was even a late, quite a busy job itself. And we really tried to sort of understand more about that, because I remember doing a session where we wanted it to be this really intense session. And sometimes, you know, we can all be a little bit prone to, we really want a lot from the players today. And players ended up turning up, and long story short, they just couldn't give anything. You could tell there was a lot of either mental or physical fatigue. And what we ended up sort of leaning towards after that was doing a mental readiness questionnaire or something very similar, where we would always sort of send this out on a Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. I can't remember if we trained Wednesday or Thursday night, but we'd send it the morning of training. Players would fill this out. This would obviously then come to the coaches, and it would just give us a bit of an indication of, oh, you know, number six isn't working hard today. Well, actually, she said in the mental readiness questionnaire that she had a really tough day at work, X, Y, and Z, feels mentally fatigued. And we found that to be a really useful tool at sort of the basic level of just understanding a little bit more about our athletes. So I don't know what your sort of thoughts are about that. For me, since going through that process myself, it really opened my mind to sort of understanding this area. You know, we talk about mental readiness, fatigue, cognitive fatigue, physical states. I'd never really thought too much about that before, being very, very honest, even though I'd sort of gone through it as an athlete. It's easy as a coach to forget about that, but it's definitely something that is always on my mind now. If we got a player come to us and they don't have a good game, parents are very quick to sort of judge, other players are quick to judge, and I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, well, what's the cognitive state, mental state, physical state? And actually, usually if they have had a bad game, not always, but sometimes it could be sort of part of that. So I don't know if, you know, if you want to sort of throw something back at me, Ed, I'm not sure if I've given you a question or not.
No, definitely. I think firstly, it's great to hear you're considering that aspect, and just diving into sort of your mental readiness questionnaire. Firstly, I think that's great you've done that. I think that's also really, you know, it's really that angle we're coming from. I'd be willing to bet that some of the challenge you had with that is sort of understanding what that, if you're using a scale, at least understanding what that number meant to them. So I don't know what kind of questions you had, but say if there was a stress question, and I also don't know what scale you're using, but let's just take 0 to 100, for example. If someone's saying there are 60 on the scale, that might be really impactful for them. To another person, that same number might be much less impactful. So it's very difficult on sort of pen and paper or on sheet or form to really understand the impact of that individual. We built an algorithm around that that normalizes each data point to the individual. So as we look at stress, we know that this stress is really impactful for that individual. If we look at frustration, we know that this number is not so impactful for this person, but very impactful for someone else. And it's really about making it a personalized metric for that individual. because we all experience emotions differently, and most importantly, we all rank emotions differently.
Yeah. For anyone watching on YouTube, I'm doing a lot of nodding when Ed was talking there, and some of the issues we faced. I remember, you're so right. We had I can't remember the question exactly. I think it was physical exertion, and the player put 60. And my interpretation of that is 60. It's not 80. You probably can give a decent amount of physical activity. And what was really fascinating is exactly what you've just said there. What we found was the player's interpretation of 60 was a lot more tired than my interpretation of 60.
Yeah,
and that's what we found. It was almost, it took a bit of getting used to try and understand what 60 means to this player. Or like you say, we all have different conceptions, don't we? Different experiences of emotions. We all have different scales in our minds. So, I don't know much about algorithms. I don't want to get into algorithms, but that's absolutely brilliant that you've built a platform that is sort of generalizing that between two different people with two different meanings. So that's absolutely awesome to hear. So, spot on, just final question. Why is that important that a coach sort of understands, these states going into activity, post-activity, whether you're, an amateur coach working in an amateur setting and you're coaching your team once a week to, sort of high level sporting elite performance, we're working with athletes on a day-to-day business. Why is it important that we need to understand this stuff?
Yeah. Answer that is because it has a really significant effect on our performance, and understanding that allows us to provide solutions around that. So when we know that someone's stressed, we can provide an intervention that really helps with stress. When we know that someone's under a lot of cognitive fatigue, we can provide an intervention that helps with that and helps them improve their state. So really what our system is about monitoring, but also providing a solution. And the solution is the key part, because monitoring is nothing without a solution. So yeah, kind of two aspects there. One is it has a huge effect on our performance. And the other part is, as a quick follow-on from that, as you say, like, it can help explain other factors. If someone's not performing one day, it might not be because they've fallen off it and they're not a great athlete. It's because they're stressed. So understanding that allows you to make smarter decisions. The other key part is providing a solution with that really allows them to enhance their state.
The Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, it's a game changer. Inside this package, you will find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. First off, the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming, and there I see the greatest ball trimmer ever. I'm blown away by the performance and craftsmanship of this trimmer. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, thanks to the advanced SkinSafe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 400K LED spotlight. You need a more precise shave. Because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. You thought that was good, but you want to take your grooming game to the next level. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and hair trimmer. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose holes. The Crop Preserver, below the waist deodorant, and the Crop Reviver, below the waist toner, change the way you approach your daily hygiene routine. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0. We have the Manscaped Boxers, look at these beauties, and the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag. Very nice, very nice addition. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with code SCPOD. That's code SCPOD. Awesome answer. Thanks so much. So yeah, brilliant. I mean, I think this leads really nicely onto our final segment. We always finish on this podcast with the implications for coaching practice. So, you know, the sort of listeners who listen to this podcast, it ranges from the sort of coach starting out, 18, 30, whatever, never coached before, fancy getting into it, to the sort of coaches right at the very top, which is absolutely awesome. So we always like to finish with a podcast, I guess, with a sort of general question of the coach who's just starting out, or the coach with not a lot of experience in this area, which I would, you know, we'd be willing to bet on this, the listeners today, there's quite a lot of coaches. What are the sort of basic level stuff that we can do to sort of introduce mental training, understand these areas a little bit more? I mean, what would be, I guess, your tips and advice, Ed, for the coach who's just expanding into this world, as I guess I kind of as well today, listening to you?
Yeah, I think one key aspect, first of all, is just understanding where your athletes are at with this. So starting to consider that there's factors beyond physical fatigue that really have a play. So looking at the mental and emotional side too, that's going to have a really significant impact on how you approach training and how you approach interventions as well. So firstly, considering that angle there. On the training side, we've built a really novel solution around it, which definitely do check out. But you know, there's a few ways you can also have an impact on, you know, training mental fatigue outside of that. So you know, when your players are doing fitness, if they're going for a run, for example, doing some sessions without music can have a really you know, that's essentially, music is mitigating the mental fatigue. If you take that away, it's, you're training under that mental fatigue, and it's preparing you to manage that better. Conversely, on the other side of things, you know, on the recovery aspect, I put a huge focus on breathing. So really simple one that anyone can do at home is box breathing. So breathing through your nose for four seconds, hold for 4 seconds, breathe out through your mouth for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds. So 4-4-4-4. And it's a technique used by the Navy SEALs for really keeping calm under pressure. So yeah, those are a few sort of strategies. And of course, if you do want to check us out, we have a athlete platform and a coaches platform. So yeah, we'd be more than happy to discuss how we could work with you.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, really fascinating to just hear a couple of examples there. I mean, certainly makes me want to dive in a little bit more to this subject. I guess just to sort of finish the ed there before I sort of ask you, you know, give you a chance to, you know, throw any plugs in. I mean, have you got anything you just want to sort of bring to light that we've sort of missed out today? Is there anything you just want to re-summarize that we've spoken about a little earlier? Some really important points. I mean, the floor's yours, Ed, for anything that we might have missed, or just that you'd like to bring to light again.
Yeah, I just, you know, just really encourage athletes working at all levels to consider how, by training the mind, they could have an impact on their performance of the athletes. And, you know, I think that's really applicable at all levels, but especially as we get down into youth sports, consider what effect taking a, you know, balanced approach to training involving mental wellness is going to have on athletes, and how they keep their love with the sport and how they avoid burnout. So burnout's such a huge issue. I hate to see the number of athletes we lose to that every year, in terms of from the sport. And you know, mental wellness is a huge component of how we actually you know, what causes that. So yeah.
Awesome. Great points as you have given throughout this podcast. So, I mean, I guess just sort of to finish, really, really interesting stuff today. Certainly up on my mind. As always, I learned so much. A lot of stuff I'll be going away and think about going into my next coaching sessions. Ed, thanks so much for coming on. Where can we find you? Where can we find Rewire? You know, tell us where we can find you on social media, a little bit more, I guess, about what you're doing now and anything that you've got coming up. Feel free to give a plug. The floor's yours.
Awesome. Yeah, if you want to learn more about Rewire, go to rewirefitness.app. If you want to check out our socials, it's pretty much at Rewire Fitness on Instagram, at rewire underscore app on Twitter. But yeah, Instagram's the main one there. And if you want to send us an email as well, feel free. The contact details are on our website, but also info at rewirefitnessapp.com. And you know, if you want to address it to Ed, I'll pick that up. But yeah.
Awesome. I mean, it just leaves me to say thanks so much for your time. I know it took us a little while, hasn't it, to get to this episode today. But yeah, some really, really, really cool points that you've made, really important points. You know, like I say, coaches that probably aren't too familiar with this sort of area of sports performance is such a huge, important element that we have to, you know, try and make ourselves aware of. And, you know, like you say, as long as you can at least understand a little bit of this, it's going to help benefit your athletes. So, Ed, just leaves me to say thanks so much for coming on today. I've enjoyed it. Worth the wait.
Thanks for having me. Great talking to you.
Awesome. Well, yeah, just leave us to say thanks, as always, to Ed. Thanks to everyone else who's listening and tuning to the podcast. If you like the podcast, please do leave us a review. You can listen to the podcast on all the channels it's distributed on, particularly YouTube. If you'd rather look at me and Ed talking in person, I'm usually at fault for just doing a lot of nodding to the guests. It's because I'm generally interested, not because I'm being polite. But yeah, thanks so much, guys. Thanks always for the support. Thanks again, once again, to Ed. And we will see everyone next week. Thank you.